We're continuing a series from the book of Luke, and it began quite some time ago. We began actually in chapter 3 and looking at good news from the doctor. And Dr. Luke has given us some great news that we ought to be able to take in and to apply in life. And so when December came, we moved to the beginning of the Gospel of Luke in order to catch some details out of this Christmas story of the coming of Christ. And so that's where we're at this month. And so today we're going to look at good news of song. As I thought about that, I think about how much music plays into our life. And whether we're a musical person, whether we think we're good at it or not, most of us have this tendency to be drawn to music as means of celebration, of means of praise, whether it's just between us and God or whether it's something that we do with other people around, we like to express ourselves through music. And when I think about the impact that music has on our life, I think about all of the songs that are kind of stuck in my head that just show up at random times. And something might trigger that, and it'll take me back to some lyrics from high school. And those may not be lyrics that I would use in a setting that I use typically anymore. But it reminds me of how long they stick with us and why it's important to fill our mind with music that is wholesome, that is good. And regardless of the style of the music, something that brings glory to God as we express ourselves. And so many times we get caught up in the style rather than the substance. And God's desire is that our song to Him is a song of our life. And throughout the Christmas story, we find a number of instances where people will seem to just break out in song, sometimes even angels. And I wonder, as we consider the good news of Christmas, whether we too have a good news song that we sing. Today we're going to look specifically at songs from Mary and Zechariah. We see God using these songs not only to give praise to Himself, but to teach us that those who would hear them in person in that day would benefit just as we today would benefit. And we learned that our good news of Christmas is a good news song. And songs were one of the ways that the people of God have used throughout history as memory tools, to be able to tell the story of God working in the lives of people. We have an entire book in the Bible we call Psalms. The hymn book of the Bible, the songs that the people would sing is in order to remember and to retell the work of God. And when we gather at Christmas, one of the favorite parts in my life is the songs that we sing. Songs that we kind of set aside until the next Christmas season comes along, and then we bring them back out. And we remember the depth that it has in our life. And when we sing Silent Night, when we sing Joy to the World, when we sing Come All Ye Faithful, when we sing the songs of Christmas, we sing the good news of Christmas. And so we gather and we do that and we include them in our Sunday morning gatherings. And next Sunday is Christmas Eve. And we'll gather Sunday morning just as we do each Sunday morning, and we'll worship and we'll remember the birth of Jesus. We'll remember His death, burial, and resurrection. But we'll also gather next Sunday evening for a time of worship and remembrance, for a Christmas Eve service. So that's at 6 p.m. There's info in the bulletin. Be sure to come and invite your friends. Invite your friends to join us next Sunday morning as well. Next Sunday, we'll continue this series of good news. And we'll look at the beginning of Luke chapter 2, that good news is born. It's here. But today, as we look at these songs, I want us to consider the words that Mary sings, that she praises God with in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And that was the song of Mary as she approaches Elizabeth. And Elizabeth announces to her that the baby that Elizabeth was carrying would leap for joy within her womb. And we talked about that last week. But that joy that was experienced, translated into a song of praise from Mary to her God and her Savior. The next section of Luke 1 talks about Elizabeth giving birth to John. And all that went on with naming this baby John, even though all of the family members and relatives said, "Well, that's not right. Nobody's named John. Why would you do that?" Well, they did it because God had instructed them to. Zechariah, the father of John, had been silent throughout this entire pregnancy because, well, he didn't really believe God. And God had given him this silence as a sign that God was indeed going to do what he said he would do. And when the baby is born and John writes out that his name is John, all of a sudden Zechariah is able to speak. And one of the first things he does is to proclaim this song. In Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 67. "His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, you will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." I wanted to share both of these songs before I got into the points, because I want you to think about those words of praise, those songs to God. Because when we come into an encounter with Jesus, when we come into relationship with Jesus, when we come together to worship, we too ought to be filled with a good news song. But it's not just a good news song that's shared here together as we do each Sunday. It's a good news song that we share with our life. It's a good news song that we live in the workplace. We live in the schools. We live in the marketplace. We live in our homes and our neighborhoods. We live this good news song by the way we relate to one another. And so there's four things that I see in each of these good news songs, the one that Mary sang and the one that Zechariah sang, as well as the one that we ought to sing with our life. And the first thing that I want us to notice that this good news song is a good news story. Both Zechariah and Mary open up their songs with a retelling of the work that God has done to bring them to where they're at. The goodness of the God that they serve, the goodness of the God that they listen to, the goodness of the God that they love. And our good news song is expressed in our world today as we tell the story of God working in our life. And your song may not sound like my song because our stories are different. But it's sung to the same God. It's sung with the same purpose of bringing glory and praise to Him. And we live life singing that song when we tell our story. So we have to stop and pause and think. Sometimes we don't begin our song because we don't know how to begin. So we pause and think, what was life like before I came into relationship with Jesus? Because when we stop and think about what life was like before I came into relationship with Jesus, it opens up the window into looking at how life has changed. And we can look at all of this discouragement and despair and the hopelessness that exists without Christ, and we can see how even though those things exist in our world, they're no longer the same. They no longer have the power over us that they once did. Our story now becomes how God has sustained us, how He carries us, how He helps us in our times of trouble. And Mary and Zechariah could both tell their story of God coming to them when they least expected it and giving them work to do, giving them a task that would bring honor to Him. And our good news story is a good news story that tells people of how God uses every one of us because He values every one of us. And as you begin to serve God, you have reason to tell the story. And we don't tell the same story. And Mary tells a story of giving birth to the very Son of God, to our Savior. But we tell the story of living in obedience to that Savior. Zechariah tells the story of being a father to one who would prepare the way for the message of the Messiah. And we can tell the story also of being those who prepare the way so that others can hear the good news. And so our good news song begins with a good news story, but it also has a good news object. There's a point to the story. I don't know if about you, but if you've ever been in a situation where somebody's talking, and I'm not talking about church here, somewhere else, and all of a sudden you're thinking, what in the world are they talking about? They've gone on and on and on, and I'm not even sure what the point is. Now, that never happens in a sermon, so it has to be somewhere else. But our good news story ought to have a good news object to it. And the object in the song of Mary and the object in the song of Zechariah was the salvation of mankind through Jesus Christ. And so we can talk about all of the good that God has done in our life. We can talk about all of the story of how God has brought us out of a life of sin into a life of righteousness. But it must include the good news object of Jesus. And so many times we live in a culture that's so caught up in a self-help model that we think we're doing it by ourselves. And the good news song that God wants us to sing with our life is a good news song that has an object of Christ at the center of it. And so anything good that you see, anything good that you hear from me, anything good that exists in my life is because Jesus is at the middle of it. That's the song that we ought to be singing with our life. That's the song that Mary was singing. Well, people are going to call me blessed, but it's not because anything I've done. It's because Jesus has existed through me. And that same good news song comes to each one of us as Jesus takes center stage in our life. And we begin to represent Him in our home. We begin to represent Him in our neighborhood, in our schools, in our workplace, in our communities. And we sing that same good news song that Mary and Zechariah could sing because we have the same object. That object is Jesus. We sing that good news song when we have a story, when we have an object, but we also sing that good news song when we have a single notice. And when I talk about a good news notice, I'm talking about kind of a poster that you'd hang on a door. I don't know about you, but there's times where there'll be an announced opening of a restaurant that's going to take place that I'm really looking forward to. And there's times as the construction will take place that I'll drive by every day. Not that I go out of my way or anything. I just, that's my path or something like that. And just watch that progress, just wondering in my mind, when will it open? When will it take place? And for the longest time in those situations, you may see a banner out that says opening soon. And my mind, well, define soon. Soon's like 5 minutes from now. Come on, open your doors. But what I really long for is that good news notice that says now open. And when we think about this relationship with God, when we think about this good news song, the one that Mary sang, the one that Zechariah sang, the one that we sing with our life, we ought to be able to give that good news notice that it's now open. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day for all who call upon the Lord to be saved. The time has come. We talked about that at the beginning of the series. And this good news notice that Mary sang about, that Zechariah sang about, was that the time had come for Christ to be born into the world and the world would be changed through Him. And our good news song today ought to carry that same notice. That there is hope. That there is a promise for the future. That there is salvation to be found. Does our life give notice that something has changed, that something's different? That while there might still be some final construction taking place, that God has indeed opened us for business. The business of praising Him, the business of honoring Him, the business of sharing the good news of Jesus. Our good news song ought to give notice to those who watch us that there's a place for them. That it's not simply about us and God, it's about people and God. And the song that Mary sang, the song that Zechariah sang, were both songs announcing the good news to all who would listen. And we give that notice to others by valuing them, by caring for them, by serving them, by helping them know that they have value to God simply because they have been created in His image. Our life is lived different when we live with this good news song. You see, this good news song has a good news story, a good news object, a good news notice, but it also has a good news goal. We're just not going about randomly singing Christmas carols, although that can be a fun thing to do. But we have purpose. We have a goal. The goal is that this promise that was given to Mary, this promise that was given to Zechariah, this promise that John would speak about the coming of the kingdom of God, would be not only fulfilled, but would be participated in by all who would hear. Our good news song ought to be sung in such a way with our life that it motivates people to change. But it has to begin by motivating us to change. So many times we gaze into God's word, we see what ought to be, and our first inclination is to apply it to somebody else. And we read in God's word about the expectations of obedience. And somebody's name comes into mind. Oh, if only they would learn to obey God more clearly, more accurately, they would have a much better life. And while that may be true, I think the first thing that ought to come into our life, if only I would obey God more accurately. See, the goal of our good news song ought to be to give worship and honor to God and to allow Him to transform us. It ought to be an opening of ourself for His Spirit to take up residence and to change how we interact with Him, how we interact with one another. See, God's desire is that we live in unity, not only with Him, but with one another. And we do that through this good news song, because our goal is to become one just as Jesus and the Father are one. And when we live with this good news song, we live in a way that the world sees Jesus in action. And all of a sudden, this tune, this melody, this collection of lyrics begins to make sense. I think about the times where I've spent time in prayer, and God puts these poems into my life. And some of you have been around for some of that. And I don't understand it, but it's just fun to watch how God does that. And I know my brother Randy here enjoys writing music and listening to God and watching that unfold. But it's not just for us. It's for every one of us. To watch God unfold His music in our life. So that our song is expressed, whether it's with musical instruments or voices of music, or whether it's just with living. We have the lyrics of these songs of Mary and Zechariah. I don't know if there was music that was accompanying it. I don't know if it sounded like what we would think of as a song. But it's described as such because it was their expression of worship to God. And our expressions of worship to God ought to be that goal of our life. This is, I want God to be visible in me. And I want people to be able to see that I value Him above all else. The song that we sing with our life says a lot about who we are. As I mentioned at the beginning, there's times where different songs will jump into my mind in various situations. Some of them are songs that actually discourage me because they were songs that I listened to at a time where life wasn't what it should have been. And just some activity will put that lyric back in my mind, and it's just like, wow, where did that come from? But more often than not, it's the songs of praise that God puts in my mind. Those great hymns that I grew up with, those great worship songs that I've sung and love. I've talked before about some of the hymns that I would sing going out to the barn to do chores as a child. That would bring me comfort and peace because they would remind me of God's presence in the midst of that physical darkness. And these songs, these good news songs that we live with our life, are designed to be that same thing. John describes the coming of Jesus to be born as the light coming to the world and expelling the darkness. But the darkness not understanding the light because it did not know the light. And part of our goal as Christians is to sing that good news song that explains the light of the world to Jesus, to the people around us. that the light of Jesus shines through us. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, the question is, what is your life song? What do people hear? What do they experience? What do they see when they encounter you? What's your good news story? Sometimes it's helpful to just sit down for an afternoon and write it out. Not that you have to share that writing with anybody else, but it helps you to reflect on all that God has done. The old song that says, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one," kind of reminds me of that. I'm writing that story. I'm remembering all that God has done. So as I sing my song with my life to the people around me, the good news story is heard. What's your good news object? Are you keeping Jesus at the center of everything that you do? Have you given notice that today is the day of salvation? Does your song represent the immediacy, the importance, the value of Jesus in your life now? And what's your goal? The Bible says that the will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our good news song ought to have a goal that the people around us would know that there's a need to repent and that salvation belongs to all who would come by faith to Jesus. Perhaps you're here this morning and you don't really have a good news song. Life hasn't been that good for you. You're just still struggling to figure out what life is all about. I think the beginning point for this good news song is actually that ending point that I talked about, the goal of surrendering to Jesus. And so if you're here today, if you're watching, listening online, and you've never been immersed into Christ, you've never said, "Yes, Jesus, I want you to be Lord and Master," then today's the day we ought to begin that conversation. That's the conversation I would love to have with you. We're going to sing in just a moment, and if you'd like to talk with myself or someone about that, you're welcome to come and meet me over here in the room to my left. But as I say most weeks, most of us as we gather, we do so because we belong to Jesus. We've been immersed into Christ. We've sought to follow Him, and we need help doing so. We need reminded of the good news song that we ought to be singing. And for many of us, our decision is my song being heard? Where is it being heard? How can it be heard more clearly? Perhaps today God is calling you to live out that song that announces the birth of Jesus, but it announces it in such a way that it proclaims, as we'll do so around His table here in just a moment, it will proclaim not only His birth, but it will proclaim His death, burial, and resurrection. You see, the song, the good news song of Mary and Zechariah, each had a purpose. That purpose was to point to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. That purpose was to point to Jesus, not just as the baby, but as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And our goal today ought to be able to point people to that same Messiah, that same Savior of the world. That our good news song would be sung, not just as we gather here in worship of God, but it would be sung by each of us everywhere that we go. If you have a decision that you need to talk with somebody about, you're welcome to come as we stand and sing, and you can meet me over here in the room to my left, and we can talk and pray about that. But whatever it is, I pray today that you would decide to sing a good new song. Would you stand as we sing?